welcome to the Hope Vineyard Podcast. For more information, go to www.hopevineyardchurch.us.
Good morning. Everybody doing all right this morning? Good, good. It's amazing how 20 degrees can feel like a heat wave, right? Spring is around the corner. We have 3 weeks until springtime, and March is almost here. So we're on the other side of this thing, and I'm excited about that. At Hope Vineyard Church, part of what we do is support missions around the world. And we're part of a partnership that's the China and Taiwan and Mongolia partnership. And for the last, 10 years, 11 years almost, we have supported through our giving, a certain percentage of our giving goes towards China and Taiwan and Mongolian missions around the world. And it's been really powerful. I was really blessed in 2013 to be able to go on a trip to China. My first trip. Since then, I've been four other times as well. But that first trip to China in 2013 was really special because I went with Ryan, who plays bass. He's playing bass this morning. Ryan and I went, and one of the things that was most amazing to me was standing on the Great Wall of China. Standing on that wall, it's over 13,000 miles long. Stretches from the ocean all the way inward. Most of it is not in repair anymore. I mean, because it's over 2,300 years old. So they started building this thing 2,300 years ago. And the thing that was really powerful for me was just this being connected, being in the presence of something that is just so ancient. There's just something to me about something that's bigger than myself, with the ancientness of it all. And that was really different because here in the United States, something that's old is 200 years old, right? We don't have something that's comparable to excuse me, the Great Wall that's thousands of years old. But there's just something about ancientness that is really powerful. This past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, and Ash Wednesday starts the Lenten season. And observing Lent is a very ancient practice. It goes back almost 1,700 years ago. Lent, which is the 40 days leading up to Easter, not including Sundays, so Sundays aren't included in that 40-day count. If you ever try and do the math, it doesn't work out unless you take the Sundays out. It's the 40 days that lead up to Easter. It was formally established after the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. And so even before then, this idea of preparation and building and moving into Easter and celebrating Easter through the Lenten practices was practiced, but officially in 325 AD is when it happened. And since then, for 1,700 years, Christians have prepared their hearts for Easter in the Lenten season. I grew up in a church, Catholic church, that observed Lent, and we learned about it. I went to Catholic high school and grade school, and so I learned all about the stuff. But it really didn't have much meaning for me. It went over my head. Maybe you grew up in a church system that observed Lent, had the church season like that, maybe you're in that same camp of, it just doesn't have the same meaning, or you're not really sure what it was about. All I knew when I grew up Catholic was that I had to give up stuff. In Lent, I had to give up candy, and that was not fun. But as I've gotten older and maybe more mature, there's some question about that. I'm drawn to these ancient faith practices once again, things like communion, the daily examine, Lectio Divina, which is a way of reading the Bible where the Holy Spirit speaks to you as you read it and you reflect on it and read it and reread it again. The lectionary, which is what we've been using as our sermon messages through this year, starting at the beginning of this year. The lectionary is associating certain texts, specific readings on specific days, and this dates back all the way to the 4th century. you know, while our culture is enamored with things that are new and shiny and the next best thing, these practices and these observations have a renewed meaning in my life. Discovering them again, maybe for the first time in a meaningful way, these time-tested and time-honored practices that Jesus followers have followed for centuries and centuries. Lent, these 40 days, is the season in the Christian year when we walk with Jesus. We walk with Jesus to his death and his burial in preparation to celebrate his resurrection on Easter Sunday. And it's characterized by slowing down, simplifying, eliminating distractions, nurturing the things that are most important in our lives as Christ followers, like scripture reading, worshiping, and giving. Lent is a special time of quietness and reflection, repentance, and seeking the Lord, hearing his voice, trying to listen for him. Historically, through the centuries, Christians have fasted. So that's where the giving up candy thing comes into play. We have fasted during Lent in order to create space. That's what fasting is about. We create space so that God can speak in our lives. And in doing so, you know, to do that, we scale back or eliminate activities altogether. Maybe you fast Netflix or Hulu, or you give up social media during this time. That's one way of fasting, maybe laying down hobbies or not, you know, going to the gym or doing other types of things that might get in the way of you slowing down. We also have a way of fasting that, you know, you give up specific foods like candy or like sweets. I've given up sweets again. That seems to be one of the things that always gets in my way. It's funny how my mind fixates on certain foods. And I realize in the Lenten season or when I fast that that I'm always thinking about eating that thing or eating at a specific time. So I fast a meal or I'll fast, you know, certain hours of the day. And it's funny how those types of things take up our thinking. And when you start realizing that, then you can begin pressing into listening to God and thinking more about him. In participating with these Lenten pursuits, what it does, it's not about getting favor with God. It's not about trying to impress him with how much you can give up or what you can fast. It's about letting Jesus reset us and reorder our priorities, basically reorder our lives so that we can be in tune with him. And so we're starting our Lenten series today called Journey with Jesus. Real simple. We're journeying with him through the lectionary gospel readings that churches all around the world are using the same types of readings. In doing this, we're unifying ourselves, uniting ourselves with the broader church all around us. Rather than doing our own thing, we are using the lectionary gospel readings to take this journey with Jesus in this Lenten time. And so we want to encourage you to come along and be part of it, just as Dee Dee had shared before. We're going to begin today by beginning where Jesus began, and that's with his baptism and temptation. And so we're going to look at Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. And you can follow along in your Bibles if you have them on your phones, if you have them available. We don't have them out because of the COVID protocols. We want to be mindful of that so we don't have Bibles just sitting out and people sharing germs or whatnot. But we encourage you, bring your own. I always have mine on my phone. That's the easiest thing. I love technology, and I love that I can always have it with me at all times. But I'm going to read it. Don't fear. I'm going to read Mark chapter 1. This is starting in verse 9. And it says, "One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, 'You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy.' The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him." Into the wilderness Jesus goes. It kind of seems like a bait and switch, doesn't it? I mean, when we read this passage, it starts out with this gloriousness of Jesus' baptism, where, you know, Jesus is there, and he goes under the water, and the Holy Spirit descends, you know, in physical form. A dove comes, and they hear the audible voice of God, you know, this mountaintop moment almost of this is my beloved son, with him I find great joy, and it's awesome. And, you know, you could hear the angels singing almost, and then all of a sudden, you bring me great joy. Now go into the wilderness. Go fast for 40 days. Find yourself in the desert, Jesus. Off into the wilderness you go, like a bait and switch, right? Well, it's important for us to realize the wilderness, this idea of the wilderness and being in the wilderness is something that plays an important role throughout the Bible. It's not just here. It really is a liminal space, and that's a space that is an in-between space. It's a transitional space or a place where ordinary life is suspended for time, and identity shifts and new possibilities emerge out of it. It's a time of confusion and transition and growth. And we see this wilderness experienced by lots of different people in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we see Abram leaving his home. God tells him, leave your home, Abram. Go to the place I will show you. And he wanders and travels through the wilderness. Along the way, God changes his name, makes a covenant with him, and ultimately for all people that he will bless the world through him. We see the people of Israel who were enslaved by the Egyptians. They're miraculously freed from Egypt, only to find themselves where? In the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness, wandering around, being led by Moses, trying to find their way. And in doing so, they become a people that God is well pleased with. We also see in the Old Testament the prophet Elijah fleeing for his life from Jezebel into the wilderness. He's running, and he wants to just give up on life. He says, Lord, take me. I'm no good here. But then an angel comes to him, gives him food, sustains him, and he has enough food or he's enough sustaining that he's able to travel the next another 40 days traveling in the wilderness. So we see these people encountering a wilderness experience just like Jesus did. And here we see Jesus finding himself in the wilderness for 40 days as well. 40 is a common number in the Bible. And we're not going to talk about that today, but it is something that when you see these numbers, most often they are very, very symbolic of specific things. And so you see that connection, though, that in this, Jesus is identifying with his Jewish roots. He's identifying with, you know, what has come before as a prophet coming into the world. But what we know about Jesus' 40 days in the desert is that the Holy Spirit led him there. In some translations, it says that immediately he was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just at the next point, but immediately he was compelled. And this is important to know that God led him. This was something that he felt drawn to go. It wasn't an accident that Jesus ended up in the desert. He didn't get lost. It wasn't punishment. He wasn't punished for his sins. He wasn't punished for failure. That's not at all why Jesus was found himself in the desert. What we also know is that while he was there, Satan tempts him. Satan is tempting Jesus throughout this. We don't see many of the details here in Mark's gospel, but in Matthew's gospel, we see more details about it. How does Satan show up, you know, to Jesus? Did he show up with a red cape and the horns and a pitchfork? And he's like, hey, I'm Satan and I'm going to tempt you. Is that how he showed up to Jesus? No. The way he shows up to Jesus is how he shows up to us too. The way he tempts Jesus is how we are also tempted in our thoughts, in our worries, in our doubts, in our faith, wondering, is God going to take care of me? I'm out here all alone in this wilderness, Jesus thinking, you know, perhaps I don't have any food. How am I going to, you know, be out here? There's nothing around. I can't go to the store, can't go to market and buy stuff. And yet Satan is there saying, yeah, give up on God. Come with me. I can hook you up with everything you need. We also know ultimately that God's grace never left Jesus alone in the desert. Angels took care of him, is what Mark tells us, that they tended to him. Even though there were wild animals around, angels took care of him. But why would God lead him into the wilderness? What's that all about? Well, we know that the wilderness, biblically, is a time of preparation. It's a time of changing our lives and molding us and making us. And when we are in the wilderness, when we press into the process of in the wilderness, we can be more in tune with who God wants us to be. We see that Luke, when Jesus comes out of the wilderness, Luke says that Jesus started his public ministry immediately afterwards. He shows up at the temple and preaches and says, it's on. The kingdom of God has come. And so following Jesus' wilderness experience, he was ready. It's a time of preparation. He was changed in some way. He was equipped to do what he needed to do over the next 3 years. In the wilderness, something that also we want to focus on is that in the wilderness, Jesus identifies with our temptations. He identifies with our weakness. And this is part of what makes him the God incarnate. Because God coming to earth, like we celebrate at Christmas, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. In becoming a man, growing up, he identifies with our weaknesses. He identifies with our temptations. And this is a big, important part of the wilderness experience for Jesus as well, because we know what he went through, he can identify with what we're going through even right now. And so some of you, as we enter this Lenten time, and I'm calling it Lenten wilderness, it can be for us a wilderness experience of sorts. Some of you may feel like you've been in a wilderness for the last 11 months. You know, this pandemic feels like a wilderness experience for a lot of us. That's very understandable. But I want to say the pandemic is not the wilderness, although it may feel like it. It may have elements of that. You know, we've lost a lot of things we do. We've had to scale back. We've had to minimize our activities. We've done a lot of that. But the pandemic and the protocols and all the things, it's not the wilderness as we would understand it in the Bible. Sure, we've experienced, you know, some suffering, pain, and some people have experienced massive suffering, losing jobs, losing loved ones. But the wilderness is what we're talking about, is something that is entered into willingly. You know, we didn't willingly enter into the pandemic. At the beginning of it, I shared, you know, how this could be a time where God wants to speak to us, and it has. I'm still, as we come up on the 1 year mark of the pandemic, I have a list of things that God has taught me throughout this time, and I'll share those at some time. But it's actually, in many ways, it has been a powerful wilderness experience and has changed me. But we're entering Lent now, and I want to encourage you to embrace this time as part of the wilderness and walking with Jesus, our journey with him. Because wilderness typically is something that is entered into willingly. We follow God's leading into it. And this is a place where we can be formed and reformed and recalibrated and reset. Our priorities shift in the wilderness. We can be envisioned and we can be encouraged. We can learn more about who we are and who God sees us. We can be challenged in this time. We can be convicted about specific things. Because when we follow God's lead into it, we can experience him speaking to us and guiding us and leading us and changing us and tweaking us. This Lenten time, it can, if we want it to be, it can be a way to disrupt our rhythms. Let's face it, we're rhythm people. We have seasons of life. We follow rhythms. Most of us have some sort of schedule. We wake up, we brush our teeth, we exercise, we eat, whatever we do, we make our coffee a certain time every day. We're creatures of rhythm. But sometimes our rhythms are not in sync with the ultimate timekeeper, who is God. We get out of sync with him. And so what Lent does is disrupt our rhythms that might be out of sync and put them back in sync with him, which is really important. So during this Lenten time, Lent 2021, it's a fresh invitation to join God in his transformation of our lives and embrace this wilderness season, these 40 days leading up to Easter. So as we begin Lent, we can join Jesus in the wilderness. We're not alone. It's not like we're out there by ourselves. He's always with us. But in embracing wilderness, we create space and we can fast as a form of embracing that kind of wilderness. We see that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. That is a really important distinction. I believe he is leading us. If you're wondering if the Holy Spirit is leading you to participate in Lent, in the practices of Lent, I would say yes, he is, because Lent is a Holy Spirit-inspired idea. It's something that has been part of the church calendar for centuries. And as such, it is a Holy Spirit-inspired idea. So I would say, yes, all of us are being invited, we're being led to participate in Lenten wilderness this season, even though we feel like, hey, we've been experiencing the wilderness a long time, and we just want to get back to normal, right? Well, I feel like he's asking us to really press in during this time and not just be thinking about the good old days, but thinking about the days to come. How does he want to change us? How does he want to change our hearts? How does he want to mold us and make us and reshape us to be who he wants us to be? I want to close by reading Psalm 25, and this is a way for us to follow God. This is something that Jesus would have known. He would have known this psalm. And this is a prayer for us, and I'm going to read it, and then we'll just unpack it a little bit. And it says this. This is actually verses 4 and 5, Psalm 25. It says, "Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you." So let's just look at these few verses here real quick. Show me the right path is what the psalmist says. Show me the right path. Well, sometimes the right path is going into uncomfortable places with God. Sometimes that path that he's going to lead you down is in places of being reset. It's in places of conviction. It's in places of where he's going to present uncomfortable truths to you. Sometimes the right path is the wilderness. And for him to point out the road for me to follow, when I say point out the road for me to follow, I am asking him, make the way, Lord. You know, a lot of us, when we became Christians, or maybe we're always been, you know, part of the church, a lot of us have this idea that, well, to be you know, a child of God means that life is going to be easy, and that you know, that because God loves me, he's always going to bless me, and my life should always be good, and the true measure of his blessings is that I'm always prospering and I have the best life ever. The truth is, you do have the best life ever as a Christ follower, but it doesn't always mean that life is going to be super easy. And in these times of challenge and testing, it's oftentimes how he makes us. There's a quote, I think it was Roosevelt, that said a calm sea never made a skilled sailor, or a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. And I like that quote a lot, because if I'm honest about the challenges of life, the things I've gone through, it's in those challenges that I've been most shaped. It's coming onto the other side of those difficulties that my life has been transformed. And so sometimes the right path, the one that he wants us to follow, is not always going to be the smooth, clear path, but he's going to lead us through there. And in verse 5, it says, lead me. So that's a great prayer to pray. Lord, lead me. Lead me wherever you are. I want to go. And how does the psalmist pray? Lead me by your truth, God's truth, and teach me. We have to be humble. We have to continue to have humble hearts. We have to be willing to hear the voice of God. And for God to teach us, we have to have that space. We have to create space through laying down things and fasting so that we can hear him speak to us and teach us. And we do this because, as the psalmist wraps up, he is the one who saves. God is the one who saves us. It's not our good looks, thankfully. It's not our creativity. It's not our industriousness. It's not our working hard. It's not our favor. It's just him. He saves us. Jesus saves us. And ultimately, that's where we end up when we go through the Lenten wilderness at Easter through the cross and the resurrection. And that's our way. And we can know that when the psalmist says, all day long I put my hope in you, we can know that, well, we know we can have hope because of Easter Sunday. We know we can have hope because of what Christ did for us. And that is a good prayer to pray. Show me the right path. Lead me. I put my hope in you. Let's pray it. Lord, we're grateful for your presence. And we're grateful for who you are. We welcome you to lead us, to guide us, to be our King. We trust you. And this is just such a big part of following you into the wilderness. We trust you to be the God who saves us. Lord, we put our hope in you, and we embrace everything that you want to take us into as we worship you today. And now we pray together out loud the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory, forever and ever. Amen.